Hello and welcome to the Lost World of Short Stories. Y'all know what day it is. It's our last episode and last feature Friday of season one. We made it. We're here. It's real. So, hey y'all, thanks for tuning in. It means a lot to me. Thank you to my listeners, voice actors, writers, everyone who shared and reposted. Thank you. I love y'all. Before I get into it, I wanted to make the usual announcement that if you enjoy this podcast, if you enjoyed any part of season one, the poetry, the Literature Wednesdays, the Feature Fridays, tell us about it, guys. You can review the podcast on my website, laurentatebooks.com. That's laurentatebooks.com. There's a page for testimonials if you want to see what others are saying about it. It's all great. And if you hover over the testimonial tab, there's a subpage called review. The page is just a short, simple review form. You write your review and click submit. It's super easy, and if you do it on your phone, it's even easier. The review comes to my email and I post it up the next day. You can also review on CastBox, Anchor, and Apple Podcasts. Reviews are so important for any business. They help bring new customers and, in this case, new listeners. I hope to grow this community here at the Lost World of Short Stories, and with your review, we can accomplish that goal. Also, if you are a Black woman from anywhere, not just in the U.S., but if you are a Black woman overseas, if you're living abroad, if you're not from the U.S., and you write poetry, short stories, personal essays, spoken word, or my new favorite that we are welcoming on the podcast, skits. Yes, I said skits of any genre. If you have any of the literature works and you're from here, you're not from here, and you know anyone that might be interested as well, let me know at my email at tatelauren72@gmail.com. That's tatelauren72@gmail.com. Share this podcast, send in your literature works to my email, and get excited for season two. You don't want to miss any of it. All updates will be posted on my Instagram at Lauren Tate Books, LinkedIn at Lauren Tate, and Facebook at Lauren Tate. And lastly, this season, we have three beautiful poets / writers that are reading their own work. So there was no voice actors in this this episode. And I'm just really excited because I also, you know, love hearing from the writers themselves. And so the first poem is titled The Ebb and Flow of Letting Go by Abriel White. The second piece, which has music, it's very beautiful. It's titled You Flow Like Water by Yolanda Lynch. And we end with the beautiful piece titled Walk in Her Shoes by Natalie Johnson, who is also our Feature Friday interview today, as well as the inspiration for this episode's title. So, as usual, I'm going to stop talking, and I hope you guys enjoyed today's last Feature Friday, and I'll be back later on in the episode.
Seldom do I find myself in the present moment. No matter where I'm planted, I find myself elsewhere. The past is an infinite loop echoing in my mind like the voices of saints in a chapel. Thousands of abandoned prayers left at the altar of my mind. Every so often I find myself calm, and it is in these moments of silence that I am able to sort through all the noise. I've come to realize that loss has been the only consistent element of my life. I'm more acquainted with loss than I am any other sensation or experience, be it the loss of a relationship, loss of a job, loss of identity, loss of stability, sanity, love. So it begs the question, why am I in such resistance to that which I'm most familiar? Why do I choose to dwell on what is left instead of rejoicing in what has come? None of these endings have killed me, and seemingly, all that I've lost has been replaced with something better suited for me. So why such grief? Why the anxiety? Aside from the fact that these emotions I'm experiencing are a natural byproduct of loss, I beg to question, why am I in such resistance to that which has bettered me? Fear of the unknown, I say to myself. But in reality, no one fears the unknown. We only fear what we project into the unknown. What I've realized is that my greatest fear is moving on from something satisfactory, only to find that what I've left behind is better than what I come to find. That somehow I'll make a fool of myself, finding myself pitifully begging for a second chance like a man begs for change with a sign that reads, "Please don't abandon me," only to find myself choking on the exhaust of the fleeting opportunity. As I reflect on my life, I find that this has never happened. So why is it that I feel this way? Where does this stem from? Every question leads back to the very beginning of my life. From a young age, many of us were taught to distrust our instincts. As children, we were constantly gaslit. Our feelings were diminished, ignored, denied, and overlooked. Should we have ever uttered a word of dissatisfaction, we were met with condemnation. Stop crying before I give you something to cry about. You should be grateful. You're spoiled. Shut up. Go to your room. Or even worse, we were met with physical abuse, which is so often masked as discipline. The shame made it impossible to navigate these very real feelings. From the very beginning, we were taught not only is it not okay to act on how we feel, but it is dangerous. Hurriedly, we dry our tears and straighten our acts, completely fleeing from ourselves into the arms of our oppressors because anything was better than being alone, even if that meant abandoning ourselves. So many of us are taught to honor our mother and father, but what about ourselves? What would happen if you decided to choose you? Are you afraid that you'll be abandoned, scolded, starved? Who taught you to abandon yourself? Ask yourself where you are right now. How do you feel? How is your heart? Are you okay? What do you need to move forward? Honor where and who you are, right here, right now. Today, I had an aha moment, as Oprah famously loves to call them. What I'm experiencing is merely ebb and flow, the ebb and flow of letting go. Letting go of the narrative that I will be punished for putting myself first, that I will wind up alone, that I must take what is given to me, that somehow I'm making a mistake. I am met with peace as I begin to embrace my truth. Who I am today is not who I was yesterday. We must honor ourselves at every phase, in every stage. We must learn to trust ourselves again. Honor your emotions. Honor your evolution. And dare to move in the direction of that which sings your name. You may just find yourself exactly where you've longed to be.
You flow like water through my soul. You flow. You flow like water through my soul. Like water, you flow through my soul. Through my soul, you flow like water. You flow like water through my soul. Like a river seeking the ocean, yearning to become one with its currents, yearning to be in sync with nature, needing to flow freely and not be constricted by the narrow lanes or passageways of a dark forest, seeking the openness and light that comes with being in the ocean, seeking the newness of exploration that the ocean inspires, and ever aware but not afraid of the danger beneath or what lies ahead. I seek refuge in your ocean. You flow through me and I drink you in. You flow like a river through my veins, a river bending and winding its way through my body, so easy, touching every cell of my being, hydrating my heart with the flow of water you provide, waking emotions which lay dry like a barren land left untended, roots thirsting for a moist kiss of rain. You feed me, so I continue to drink. You nourish me, so I continue to drink. You refresh me, so I continue to drink. I drink you in like ocean. I drink you in like an ocean that welcomes each river, each stream, each creek, and by each watering hole that seeks a larger part of itself, seeking that which completes its journey. I thirst for you, my sweet, like a newborn seeks to suckle from its mother's breast, depending on it for its growth, its development, its survival. I drink you in slowly, sweet sips at first, then hungrily, uncontrollably, in giant gulps that almost drown me. I drink in the parts of you that have become so familiar to me that I feel they are my own. I drink in the parts of you that are unfamiliar, but that quench the same thirst, a thirst only to be quenched by you. I drink you in, my love, and look forward to drowning.
They say these shoes are made for walking, but no one reveals just where they might go. From the bellows of our parents' experiences, we are cloned into their images and prone to the damages that afflicted their fates. As we become grown, we are unapologetically thrown into our own roles without our permission, with no conversation as a precursor to our future existential debates. From innocent young girls to curious young women to moldable young mates. With no options given, we began living in the gates of our established circumstance. Before we can crawl, stand, walk, or dance, we lay cradled in the nervous hands of generational curses and blessings, ingesting preconceived notions of what they claim is destined or what they say they desire us to be. Absorbing like sponges, soaking up all the dysfunction that we see, growing in the soil of an imbalanced society that molds and twists and shapes our family tree, we inherently become the good, the bad, and the ugly, internalized trauma included. Trauma deeply rooted in mothers that are disoriented, weakened, or excluded. Mothers that are soothing children in the arms of their own disillusioned past. Mothers who love with broken hearts that beats twice as fast in an attempt to still love their children and themselves wholeheartedly. Deeply rooted in mothers who are partially or barely on their feet, becoming magicians with tricks, no treats to make ends meet, holding on tightly by the skin of their teeth through grind and grit. Their face barely lit with hopeful eyes, but heavily plagued by a hopeless spirit. Mixed with mothers, fathered by fathers who were never taught honor. No real male leadership encounter. Fathers that were never taught to manifest the word love into a physical form. Fathers who were never taught to show up for themselves or their first, second, third, even their unborn. Fathered by fathers with no direction. Fathers who never developed a healthy self-perception outside of the value of their erection as a sense of identity. And then we plant these same struggles alongside our seeds, let them feed and watch them wrap around our youth like weeds until these issues are finally strong enough to independently breathe and hold broken families back. Until they're strong enough to keep our families choking on a twisted reality that keeps them hostages to being off track with unrealistic expectations. Today, we are forced to maneuver through a nation that internalizes their fear and manifests the worst of their frustrations. Lack of desire for feminine understanding, so the nation exudes poor communication. No cares are given. She's just a girl, she's just a mother, and they're all just women. Misplaced self-hatred, fueling misogyny. Within all that weight and negativity, their ideas of perfection, she still strives to be the epitome. When in reality, she was created to be the epiphany. She was created to be the sculptor of her reality and the painter of her perceptions. She was created to be the embodiment of an imperfect perfection. She was created to help erect the beings we were all born to be,
removing the toxins from our beings and granting generational audacity. Through her, we can reset the stage for our youth and let our children become the authors of their lives by living in their truth. And as mothers, lovers, sisters, aunties, friends, and wives, we can transform into what we never thought we could be, living life with insight and growing purposefully, gratefully, beautifully, masterfully achieving whatever it is that we choose. But to achieve that, she must embark on that journey, and she has to walk in her shoes.
I hope you guys enjoyed those poems. This lineup really warmed my heart. The first poem, titled The Ebb and Flow of Letting Go by Abriel White, who I have the pleasure of knowing personally. We've known each other since high school, and she's just always, you know, been a deep thinker and growing and evolving in her walk in life. And many conversations that we've had over the years have led to tears of joy and reflection. And she's just a light to be around for me. I love her, and I was so happy that when I reached out to her, when I was telling people about my podcast, when I had the idea, right, and literally, you know, no episodes, I just had the vision, that when I reached out to her, she was so excited to be a part of it, and she sent me this very piece, and I am so thankful for that, because like many people who submitted their work, they helped to believe in the vision with me, and they didn't submit flimsy pieces. Many submissions were those of quality and vulnerability, which like this piece, The Ebb and Flow of Letting Go, you know, hearing these words to me is like peeking behind the curtain. It's Abriel sharing inner thoughts, not only out loud to herself, but to us. She talks about her relationship with loss, fears of the unknown. She reflects on her childhood to find where all these particular uncertainties come from. You know, she's just figuring it out, as we've all been doing, not only in our lives, but in this first season, right? This season one, and as we've been taking this journey together. And like I've been saying this entire season, reflection and journaling are key. We saw that in other works such as The Beginning by Ashley Watkins, and as we do with this very piece. So when I read it over and listened to it again, I highlighted a passage that really stood out to me, and it's when Abriel says, "But in reality, no one fears the unknown. We only fear what we project into the unknown. What I've realized is that my greatest fear is moving on from something satisfactory, only to find what I've left behind is better than what I come to find. That somehow I'll make a fool of myself, finding myself pitifully begging for a second chance like a man begs for change with a sign that reads, 'Please don't abandon me,' only to find myself choking on the exhaust of the fleeting opportunity. As I reflect on my life, I find that this has never happened. So why is it that I feel this way?" That's so brutally honest with where she was in her journey at this time. And because it is so beautifully articulated, I don't even want to add my opinions on it or try to make it out, turn it into what I make it out to be. But I thought to share that with you guys, even though you heard it, but to pluck out that piece specifically because I just loved it. And she ends the piece by saying, "I am met with peace as I begin to embrace my truth. Who I am today is not who I was yesterday. We must honor ourselves at every phase, in every stage. We must learn to trust ourselves again, honor your emotions, honor your evolution, and dare to move in the direction of that which sings your name." Can we just, oh God, can we say that one more time? Like, "and dare to move in the direction of that which sings your name. You may just find yourself exactly where you've longed to be." That's beautiful. I mean, that's exactly it. Those words are season one, right? I mean, they're her words, but they extended over and poured over into this season one. And I thought it was just a great way to end the podcast with this piece as well. And adding on to that, you know, you can't outrun who you're meant to be. People try, right? They bury themselves in relationships, money, drugs, school, work, somebody else's dream that was forced onto them, or one that they tried to chase but isn't for them. You can't outrun what is already meant for you. That's good. You can't outrun what is already meant for you. You just have to accept it and claim it and pursue it. It takes faith, right? It takes courage. It takes discipline. That's one that people leave out. They think that just because it's for them that it's supposed to just come so easy. They're like, this was designed for me. Why am I struggling? Why is this hard? Why do I have to learn new things? It takes discipline as well, guys. And it's going to be hard work and things might look crazy. I'm sure of it. People think I'm pretty sure I look crazy to a lot of people with this podcast and like no money coming in yet. And, you know, just different situations and writing books and just pursuing something so strongly because I'm like, I'm not worried about the income because I know that it's going to come. And I'm not worried about this part and that part because I know it's there for me. It's already destined for me. That's where that faith comes in, right? Like you have to believe that it's already for you, that you're in your path, that you're running your own race, that when you are reaching your goals and pursuing your dreams and pursuing that plan that God specifically has for you, honestly, that everything else is going to fall in place. You're doing what you love. You're helping, you know, a community. You're helping parts of the world. You're being an encouraging light to not only yourself, but to those around you. And that's beautiful. And that takes a lot of boldness and that takes a lot of courage not to just fall in line with what everybody else wants you to do. And so this is probably the happiest I've ever been, right? So I just wanted to share that with you guys as well. And then when you walk in what is meant for you, when you're not trying to run somebody else's race, right? Jumping into somebody else's lane when you're just focusing on you and what you need to do and what you need to get done and everything else is going to follow, then you start to walk in your freedom. You start to walk in freedom. And so I hope you guys just really love this piece as much as I did. And, but we got to move on. I got to keep going down the line. And so as we're moving on to a piece titled You Flow Like Water by Yolanda Lynch, it is the only piece that in season one that is read with music, right? It's actually, if you guys caught that, it's actually the music and words that are weaved together, actually, because it's not even separate. It's not like she's reading with music. The music is in the words and the words is in the music, and it just ties together very beautifully. And I hope you, I mean, obviously you heard it when you listened to it, but I hope that you guys really like felt that and that this piece kind of took you into a dream state, maybe. Like maybe that was just me, but it was like a hypnotic sort of thing. And so I remember when submitting her piece, Yolanda sent one without music and then she sent this one and I said, oh, give me this one, because it really became the overall work to me. I couldn't imagine it without it. And her voice is just very soothing. And like I said, very hypnotic. And she kind of trances us with her voice. The repetition and the echo. And y'all know I love me some repetition. And it's just a very chill and sensual piece of connection and passion and nature and love all at once. And yeah, those are just my words for this piece. I love the vibe of this piece and the performance of it. And so I actually, like I was saying, or I wasn't saying before, maybe I was saying it in my head, that I want more pieces like this in terms of music and kind of that spoken word vibe, that spoken word feel combined together. If people can just like effortlessly do that the way she did it, or even better, or, you know, whatever, people can get really creative. And I know there's people like that, that put their spoken word, you know, with guitar, with drums, with different beats and, you know, different things like that. So I would actually like more of submissions like that. Not all of them to be that way, but definitely if you are creative in that way, please send them to me. I love it. I really do love the performance of that. And speaking of performance, we end with a piece titled Walk in Her Shoes by Natalie Johnson. And I'm not going to say too much about this piece because you will hear from Natalie next discussing her book, Walking in Her Shoes. But this piece talks about generational curses, exploration of as youth to young women and repacking and relearning what we came into the world with by our family and pressures of the world or society and balancing our life with what we've been taught, what we're learning and what's constantly around us, right? In our atmosphere and in a specific circumstance and growing up without fathers in our lives for some of us, which is one of my favorite lines in the piece that actually says, fathered by fathers with no direction. So to me, that was like, you know, the blind leading the blind, and they're the ones being labeled as teachers or become the stand-in for what many girls really needed, and many guys, because they're, you know, that's also a traumatic and hurtful experience for a lot of men, as boys who grow up without fathers, right? That's very, very evident in their walk as well. And then she goes on to say, we plant our same struggles alongside our seeds. So for me, that was like, you know, parents who have not dealt with their own issues and demons because it's left untended, and because they haven't dealt with that, they pass it on to their seed, which is, you know, in this this metaphor, their child. And so this poem is so heavy because there's a lot in it that you can get. And the more that you listen to it and you can find yourself reflecting. There goes that word again, right? Reflecting on the way that you grew up, cases of trauma that you've been too afraid to face, certain relationships you wondered why they failed, and the list just goes on and on. But the poem ultimately ends with this notion that to embrace who you are, to confront what you need to confront, to pursue your purpose, you have to walk in your shoes. That's dope. I love that. I mean, because isn't that the truth? Like, no one can do it for us. So I just absolutely love that. And so as you listen to the interview coming up next with the writer, the author, the poet herself, Natalie Johnson, author of Walking in Her Shoes, which is available on Amazon, it is an anthology of stories from mothers. Gosh, that's so beautiful, because we don't hear from mothers too much without, you know, the casting shadow of judgment and shame and expectation. But here in this anthology, Walking in Her Shoes is just a very beautiful and authentic version of telling stories from the mothers themselves about different struggles of them as mothers, as women in their life. So I really appreciate this, and I really love this. And this interview that you're about to listen to was just so powerful and so heartwarming. I even cried in the middle of it, talking about my own mother and just how much I love her. Because if anybody knows, I'm going to just state the fact that if anybody knows, when you ask me about my mom and we're just talking about like the goodness and the purity and just like the being of who my mother is, I automatically start to cry. It makes me just water up. And it's funny because my mother's not a crier at all, but I just love her so much that the extension of that, it just makes me want to cry tears of joy. So that's what I did in the middle of this interview. It was that good. And so I hope you guys enjoy it and get something from it, as I'm sure you will. Right. Okay. So hello and welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yes. Thank you for reaching out. You wrote a book. Well, first of all, everyone, this is Natalie Johnson, correct?
Yes.
Yes. And you wrote a book called Walking in Her Shoes.
Yes.
And it's an anthology.
Yep, sure is.
Okay. And like I was saying, I love book covers. And that's like one of my first things I always talk about. And even though yours is like really straightforward to the title, can you talk about how you came up with the title and even the book cover? I mean, because I like that it's actually like a woman's walking, like, you know, with the right jeans and the heels. Like, it's very, I love that.
Okay. Actually, the title Walking in Her Shoes, I came up with that after I started interviewing women for the book. The original title was supposed to be The Untold Stories of Mother Goose. And I kind of felt like, because I also write poetry, so I felt a little bit too poetic, like looking at the cover, you might miss the point. So, you know, as I interviewed each woman, and they were telling me their stories, I just felt like they were walking me through their lives. So that's how I ended up with Walking in Her Shoes.
I love that.
And the cover, I wanted it to be inviting. I wanted it to show a woman in movement, moving forward, not necessarily away from, but like moving forward and like walking in her truth and walking in her purpose, which is where, you know, you see the little sparkles around her feet.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
That's powerful.
Thank you. Yeah.
I'm glad I asked. I love that you said that walking, you wanted to show a woman in movement.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So yeah. Like, we're always in movement. women, especially mothers. You know, we're always putting on different hats. We're always, you know, trying to figure out if it's not for us, for our families. So yeah, it was important for me to show that.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you for sharing. Can you tell us a little bit about the book just in general?
Okay, so the book consists of 14 chapters of women telling their stories. Each chapter is represented by an issue. So okay. Every chapter, you know, Reeboks or diamond stilettos, or so I asked each woman to pick out a shoe that they feel represents them. That's why they have those titles. So it's 14 chapters of women telling the stories. About two chapters where I have two people giving professional advice. Mm-hmm. One person, her name is Sherika Matthews. She's like a self-help guru. She works with women, helping them to be empowered and own their past. And then I also have a close friend of mine. She's a licensed social worker. Mm-hmm. She worked with young people for over 30 something years. So she gives her advice on how the relationship between a parent and a child, how that relationship can be hindered because of the past of the parent, you know?
Okay, yeah.
So that's pretty much the book. It's just women telling their stories, telling their truth. A lot of times during the interviews, you know, I was asking them questions that they didn't even really think about themselves, you know, like, you know, where, you know, how do you see yourself now? How do you feel like your past affected, you know, your views of yourself today? Like things that they thought about, you know?
Right. So would you say that like it brought up like a reflection time for them?
Yes, it was definitely.
Okay. I love that. How did you, because I really want to know, how did you like get the all the submissions from the women? Like, how did that even come together? Because that's like a big project. Like, it's not a small little book. You got a lot of collections.
It's funny because a lot of people actually responded. I sent out inquiries through social media, Facebook and Instagram, asked my friends. I got a lot more stories than I put in the book. And because the book was already thick. Yeah. You know? So, you know, thank you to everyone who wasn't able to go into the book. You know, you guys will be in the next book.
Yeah.
But I was actually surprised how many people were interested in speaking about their lives and their stories. Mm. And it wasn't really hard at all. The hard part was getting everything documented.
Okay. trying to weave it. Yeah, okay.
When it comes to their story. And you just, you know, as a writer, you don't want to miss that. You don't want to miss something that they feel is pertinent to their story.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. And I think you really like just, I mean, people want to feel included. And what I always want to say is people want to feel heard. I mean, especially moms, because they don't get enough, praise, a lack of a better word, in society, like acknowledgement. There we go. They don't get enough acknowledgement. I mean, like you said, for all the roles that they do. I try to tell my mother all the time, like that. I mean, because she does so much. I'm like, you're getting a PhD. You're like also being a mom to me. And like being a mom doesn't stop.
It doesn't.
Right. Like I paused and I was like, I'm 25 and like, you're still a mom. Like, like it's just, you know, like that's wild and appreciative to think about.
Right.
Exactly.
I wanted to focus on motherhood too, because, you know, as a mom, you're expected to be perfect. You know, you're expected to know everything. And, you know, once you become a mother, they totally take out the fact that you are a woman, you know, almost like, nope, you're just a mother now. That's it. You know? And I don't think that's really fair or realistic.
Exactly. And it's like an expectation too. It's an expectation, especially because me being single, it's an expectation for people, like for people to want you to be married and be a mom. And then like, they never talk about anything after the fact. They're like, oh yeah, when are you getting a husband? When are you going to have kids? Okay, that's it. We'll see you when that happens. Just like, seriously?
There's so much more.
Yeah. So on this podcast, I talk about the power of telling your story. And something that was said in your book was that the silence doesn't make the pain or trauma go away. It only magnifies that, which I totally agree with. But can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. A lot of times, and I know I'm like this, so a lot of times when we're going through stuff, we find ourselves withdrawing, right? We don't want to talk about it. We might feel embarrassed. You know, we don't want to alter how people will look at us, you know, so we kind of keep it to ourselves. But the problem with that is you still talk up here in your mind. And you have all this self-talk, and it's usually negative. Like, how did I get here? Why am I here? Why did this happen to me? You know, all of these negative self-talk. So even though you're not verbalizing what you're feeling, it's still happening in your mind. And if you don't speak about it, it just gets more intense. Yeah. So now, when you finally do open up, you allow other people to help pull you out of that negative self-talk. You have people who are able to introduce options and opportunities to you that, you know, if you didn't say anything, they wouldn't know that you even needed it, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why it's important for us to share our stories, and not only just to help us, but to help others, because you don't know who else is going through that, who, you know, who is feeling stuck and you overcame that, you know?
Yeah. And I agree with that. And two, I was saying too, like when I talk about on the podcast that, you know, telling your story is one thing, but people don't talk about the bravery and the courage that it takes to tell your story, because it's not easy, right? Dealing with addictions and sexual abuse and certain things like that, from less to, you know, more, like I said, it's hard. And you have to be vulnerable. And I always say that there's strength in vulnerability, because, you know, we're all human. So, you know, we're all dealing with something, like you said, you know, to not know that somebody else is going through something. And like you said before, sharing your story could be helping somebody else more times, you know, more than just one person.
And so, I see it as being brave, you know, talking. I don't see it as that, especially when you're in the moment, you just, I'm going through this. I got through it. So I don't even want to talk about that right now. I'm moving forward.
Yeah.
It is brave to look it in its face and name it and say, okay, this was abuse, or this shouldn't have happened. This was violent, or.
Yeah, I agree. You mentioned the phrase, which I love, imperfect perfection, in the book. And I love the definition of what that is. Can you tell the listeners what it is and what it means in the context of womanhood and motherhood?
Yes, being an imperfect perfection is really just about, you are perfect as God made you. What you know, what you have, you are perfect in that. Now, God gave us room to grow. If we were perfect, we wouldn't be able to grow. We wouldn't need to, because we would be as we are. So just being an imperfect perfection is saying, okay, it's okay. What I have now, what I know now, that's what I'm supposed to do. And I'm supposed to mature and learn and have some room for growth. Mm-hmm. And like I said, as mothers, especially, we don't really get that. We don't get that room to say, okay, well, we made an error. We didn't know this. We didn't, you know, it's almost expected for you to be perfect. But when you accept that you're an imperfect perfection, you can forgive yourself for not knowing certain things or not having certain resources and opportunities that other people may have, because you just didn't have that. You didn't know that. And that's okay. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
So being an imperfect perfection is just about knowing that it's okay to be imperfect. You are meant to be how you are.
Yes. And I like what you said about you know, you're able to forgive yourself, because forgiveness is definitely a part of the process, right? It's a part of the healing. And a lot of times, you know, depending on who you are in the situation, but a lot of times it can seem to be easier to forgive others sometimes than to forgive ourselves, right? To look at ourselves in the mirror and be like, you know, that can be hard.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, do you have any favorite parts of the book, a story that resonated with you the most, or multiple stories, or and why?
I love the whole book.
Yeah, I figured.
Each woman, there's nothing in any story that that doesn't resonate with me in some way.
Yeah.
You know, from high-end loafers, her parents were on drugs, and mother had HIV, and she, you know, she took care of her mother until she passed away, and she was like 10, you know? So there's that. There's Silver Flip-Flops, who she actually had brain surgery at a very young age and lost one of her hearing in one of her ears.
Wow.
So, you know, that she talks about how that affects her parenting, her mothering. Mm-hmm. I can't actually go through all the stories.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, but that was good though. And I mean, I could see how that you were saying, like, you resonate with the whole book and you had to choose all the pieces as well, correct?
Yes, which was hard.
So, yeah, right?
I mean, these were amazing women that reached out to me, you know, whose stories were all inspiring. So it's like, dang, which one do I leave out, you know?
Right. That goes to show you too, that people want the platform and we don't have enough.
And very true. Very true. We should definitely open that up or allow people to, or encourage them to tell their stories.
Yes.
Because these women were never asked prior to me. Mm-hmm. They were never asked about their story or their life.
Wow. Yeah. And I think people think that they have to have like a certain following or status to be, right, or have your story to, you know, to be worthy of telling. And it's like, no, if you're living and breathing and you've been through something, because we've all been through something, your story is gonna, it's worth being told, basically, is what I say, you know?
Yeah. I feel like all our best resources, like, you know, the woman next to you, you don't know what she's been through.
Yeah. But
he has something to offer you and vice versa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I think too, it's just about extending kindness within our community, because a lot of times we don't have kindness for each other to even hear our story, right? We're so focused on being judgmental and, you know, angry or focused on our own stuff. We don't even have the time or the space in our mind, in our hearts, to open it up to another woman and be like, hey, we can, let's just try to work through this together, because I see you struggling, I'm struggling, you know, that's not enough of that either. So, you know, so that we can, you know.
I think, you know, a lot of times when something happens, like in the news, you hear something happens where a mother does something wrong and donating it, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But first thing that you hear is, oh, I would never do that about with my kid, and I would never. And it's like, you don't even know what that person has gone through. You don't know if they have mental illness. You don't know if they're abused. You don't know anything. It's almost like we don't care. We just care. You did this and you messed up, and I would never mess up. Like, to validate our own self.
Yes.
And I think that's horrible. That's so detrimental, because if they did something, you know, God forbid, like a crime, you know, against them, you know, there's consequences for that. Yes.
Yeah.
But it'd be some kind of room to say, well, why? Why did this happen? You know, not just condone her off the bat.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that goes into my next question, when you, you're just talking about returning humanity to motherhood, and the importance of hearing other people's stories, because I was saying, like, this could have easily just been your story, right? Yeah. Like, you could have easily just been like, I'm just gonna tell, which I mean is also cool too, you know, but you decided to open it up, and like we were talking about before, you know, have a platform for other women. And and then you talked about how the chapters are, but can you just say just a little bit more just about like that piece of just returning humanity to motherhood, because that's specific, right, that you said it that way.
Because, you know, like I was saying before, a lot of times you forget that she was an individual.
Yeah.
That she's, you know, she's gone through stuff that changed how she sees herself and how she views the world. And, you know, and we don't recognize that. We're just like, okay, well, you're a mother now. So, you know, despite the fact that you're having relationship issues, despite the fact that, you know, you're still trying to identify yourself, because, you know, just depending on your relationships with the father or your husband or your boyfriend or whatever, you know, it can cause you to question your whole identity, even as a mother. But it's we don't allow that. You're not allowed to. That should be untouched. The motherhood part of you should remain untouched, mm-hmm. despite what you're going through in your personal individual life. And that's incorrect, because yeah. whatever goes through over on this side, you know, of her individuality is going to affect her motherhood as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to, you know, kind of open it up so that you see, oh, so she's gone through experiences outside of motherhood. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Like she had, you know, her own goals and dreams, expectations, things that yeah. happened to fail them. Like there's still things that's going to affect her motherhood.
Yeah. I really love that. And I just thought of something too, because I say one of the greatest experiences that I've had as being a child, right, of a mom, is to come to that certain point in my life where I saw my mom outside of being my mom, which I love speaking about, because that's a joy, right? You're just like, oh, mommy, like, that's it. And then you're like, oh, no, like, Marion, like student, teacher, like friend, wife, like you're like, oh, and then you had, and then what, who did you look like, or you know, what were you like before me, right? Like your life didn't start with the birth of me, so
right.
you're a whole person before then,
right? And I think that's important to see, just you know, as a child looking at your mom and saying, wow, mom, like you really, like I'm not your all,
right? Right.
Like you actually achieved other things, and you know, it just, to me, it just makes motherhood just so much stronger in that way. You yeah. know, like you to take care of me, and I'm great. You know,
right?
Right. But, you know, you did your best with me, and you still had some for you. You were still doing yeah. you, and then you growing up, and then you know, if you eventually get married and you have mm-hmm. children, you know that there can be a you outside of your, you being a wife or you being a mom.
Yep. Yeah. And I think too, I just, I've been learning how to, in my role, while still living here with my parents, is how to support, I mean, my mom, right? Like small ways that I can give encouragement and love and support just to her as a human being, you know?
Right.
Like,
right.
So I mean, that's been nice. I'm like, how can I better serve you, like, you know? And I prayed to do that with joy, because I don't want to do things that, and I don't want to cry, but I don't want to do things that that would harm or do it, sorry,
it's okay
or do it, you know, just do it like out of anger or just like resentment. You want to do it with love. You want to do it with joy. And I think that's what family is about. And I think when God is in the middle of that, you are able to move through and to serve people as how God would want us to serve.
Amen, girl.
Yeah. Yeah. I work through it. I love tears. So
that's powerful that, yeah. A daughter that you recognize that, you know what, I have a place where I can encourage my mom.
Yeah.
You know, she's always, you know, pouring into you, but that you want to pour into her and help her still grow as an individual, not just
exactly.
I think that's cool.
Thank you. So I wanted to ask, what does motherhood specifically look like for you as a mom?
Goodness gracious. Motherhood, I have three children, and my
you,
oldest,
okay.
She turned 21 and then I have a 14-year-old who thinks she's going on 21, and then a son that's 10. So okay. It's definitely been a learning process. I think motherhood in general is a learning process, and the only thing you can really do is be flexible. Motherhood is about being flexible. It's about being open. It's about just adjusting as you go, because what you do with one child, you can't necessarily do with the other. Like there's no blueprint and yeah. it doesn't across the board. So it's all a learning process for me.
And that makes sense.
You know, at the time right now, I'm a single mom. I'm okay. separated from So it definitely looks a little different because I'm a single mom.
Right.
You know, like I said, it's the adjustment never changes. The flexibility never changes, like all of that. And then, you know, there's the love. There's those moments where you have like the aha, like, oh, this is worth it, you know?
Yeah.
Love and the funny little things that they do that make you laugh. It's like those moments, but.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so it's a lot. Don't rush.
No, right. What, are there any like words or like specifically that, like things that you're learning specifically right now in this season of motherhood for you? Like,
well, so my oldest, she wasn't really into boys and dating, you know.
That's how I am.
Yeah, more into like reading books and like, mm-hmm.
Yep.
The worry, you can see me still?
Oh yeah.
I didn't really have to worry about that. With my younger one now, she's so into boys.
Really?
Yes. And so now I'm trying to navigate, you know, gently,
yeah,
how to talk to her about boys, because I don't want her to feel, you know, that she's like she's doing anything wrong, because that's natural.
Yeah.
So but I want her to understand, like, you're not supposed to be dating. Like, okay. But so I'm navigating that. My son, so I had, you know, so he's the youngest.
Oh, okay.
And he just broke his arm. A little, like in November, and I'm just like, I've never had a kid with a broken arm,
you know?
So he's different from them. He was a preemie. He stayed in the hospital for like 3 months before I could take him home.
Oh, okay.
So I always see him as the little one, and you know, then I'm like, you went and broke your arm. You know, so with him, it's just different, because he's, to me, he's extremely gentle and vulnerable, but he's so active. He's a boy, he's supposed to be. So I'm getting used to that. So it's all,
I love that. My mom always used to say, like, when I was like understanding just like our relationship and just her as a mom, and she'd be like, you know, I would turn a certain age, and she's like, I just want you to remember that I've never been a parent to, you know, a 20-year-old, or, you know, this, and and I'm like, mind blown. That is so true.
That's real. Like, I've never, like, and it's like, oh, but you've been doing this for 20. No, but it's not the same. Every year welcomes different things. Mm-hmm. That's what the flexibility and the adjusting kicks in.
And that's real, because me and my brother are very different. And she's like, I've had to have different parenting things with both of you guys. Like, I can't just shed out the, you know, distribute the same things for everyone. I was like, that makes sense.
It was like, oh, this is great. The other one is like, what's that?
Right. You know?
Yeah.
Because even in the way that your children learn, I mean, that alone, you know, some people are more visual, some people are more, you know, different. So it's just like, I can't even, I mean, in a good way, right? Because, I mean, we're all different. So.
And then they internalize. We all internalize things differently.
Yeah.
So you can say, you know, I love you. And to one kid, that's all they need to do. They need to hear it. But then the other child is like, no, I need to feel it. Like, I need to go out with you, mom. I need to do this. Like, the needs are different. Everything is different.
Yeah. I told my mom her love language like 2 months ago, and she was like, what? And I was like, I was.
You read that book, right?
Yeah.
So good.
It is. She was like, wait, she was like, what? She was like, I don't even know my love language. What's my love language? And I was like, acts of service. And then I explained it to her, and she was like, oh yeah. She was like, yeah, because when you cook dinner for me, or like you washing dishes, or you doing something that's like helping me, like, she's like, yes.
Yes. Yes. For moms, it's like acts of service is really like big. It's up there, because listen, we're busy doing this and that and taking care of this. So a child is like, mom, I'll do that for you. What? I love
my mom gets so excited, and I'm like, this is nice. Okay, I can learn to grow in this area.
Right.
Oh yeah. Can you talk about the celebration of this book, like what happened after it came out, just the celebration from moms, from women, like what did that look like?
Well, I didn't really have like a book signing
or anything,
but
you need to
Thank you. You
I'm know, coming.
I plan to.
Yes.
But a lot of people came out to support, to buy it and support me.
Nice.
I didn't expect it because I was one who struggled with promotion, like self-promotion. Like I felt, you know, people would think I was talking too, like I'm talking too much. Or, but a lot of people came out just out of support, not necessarily wanting to read the content, but they were surprised by the content. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and then I, for Labor Day, I went out there on the parkway and I was selling a few books, you know, I was like, okay, you know, then I have a day job. So then that was like, okay, well, I'll do this on the weekend. And that's how it kind of,
but okay.
In the beginning, a lot of people were very supportive. I was surprised.
Nice.
Surprise.
Yes, I love that. And just coming together, something and something wholesome to come together for, like nothing crazy going on. Like, we need that too.
Yeah, no, we definitely do. But you know, coming into a new era, I'm hoping that we'll have more celebrations than
yes.
Any, you know? Yeah. But we definitely have that now more than ever.
I agree. Yes. Okay, so coming toward the end, I was praying too before this. I was like, if this is exactly a 30-minute interview, let it just be packed with so much. I was like, I just want to get everything. This is like, oh, this has been one of my favorite interviews. So just slowly closing it out, what are three things that you would tell Black women writers or mothers who want to write and tell their story?
I would tell them to do it, you know. When I was thinking about writing a book, it felt so overwhelming. Just the thought of, you know, God, I have to put this on paper and I have to find this. But the resources are out there. Like, you know, I went on social media. Yeah, I need a publisher who's publishing. I was looking at different people. Mm-hmm. And once I started looking, opportunities started jumping out to me.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's just about getting the ball rolling.
Yeah.
But opportunities will reveal itself to you, and your story is important. And even if you don't see the magnificence, you know, of it, because a lot of times, you know, in order to tell our story, we're like, well, what big thing happened to us? No, it's not about the big things. It's about the little things, you know? So your story is worth telling, and it's not really a hard process to write it, you know, and, or you can somebody else write it for you while you dictate. If it's, you know, if it's an issue with the writing, but your story is worth telling. You could change lives.
Yeah.
You know, somebody listening to your story, you can, you know, you can heal them, you can help heal them or put them on the path to healing. Mm-hmm. You can get understanding. Like, it's worth telling your story.
Yeah. As me, as my friends say, when we always go back to scripture, we're like, you know, cause you're helping plant seeds, you know, like you said in your book, you even said that in your, it's like, as long as you put it there, it has the chance to grow.
If you don't, then there's nothing. You're not offering anything.
Yeah, you know? And you're not in your purpose.
Yes. Yeah. And we want to walk in our purpose.
Yes, we do. That's where we want that movement to be.
Yes.
I agree.
You know, water them and allow them to grow. Allow them the opportunity to grow. If you plant them and grow, or, you know, it doesn't go anywhere, quote unquote, then at least you made, you tried, you know, you did your, but if you don't do anything, you know, you don't offer anything.
Right. I agree. Lastly, where can we find Walking in Your Shoes? Where can people purchase it?
You can purchase it on Amazon. I'm working on doing the audiobook right now.
Ooh.
Yes. But it's been a little bit challenging because I don't want one person saying the whole story.
So
that's been the challenging part. Audio book, but they can get it on Amazon.com.
Okay, yes. Do you have any other, and this was a follow-up question, but do you have any other like projects or anything that you want to do in the future?
Oh, I have so many ideas, girl. It's so hard. I want to write a poetry book, which I'm kind of now I'm in.
And your poetry is wonderful, by the way.
Thank you so much. Yeah. I'm trying to do that. I'm also trying to write a play.
Ooh.
But it's almost in poetic form. So kind of like, but not really. But in poetry form. So I'm working on that as well.
Like
I'm
that.
Also working on The Sole of His Shoes, which is the male version of Walking in Her Shoes.
Oh, come on. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. And I already started the interviews with that. And oh my gosh.
Men need that.
Yeah. And you'll be surprised by, how experiences with their own mom and their own parenting, how it affects them.
Oh, I believe it. Yeah. My aunt's a therapist and she's like, I've just seen so many things throughout the years. And she's like, they'd be crying and doing stuff. And I'm just like, yes, because, gosh.
No, they often don't feel safe expressing those kinds of emotions.
Yeah.
So, that's definitely going to be a really good book.
Okay.
Nice. But yeah, everything's working.
Yes. I love that. Cause we want to see more of Natalie Johnson.
Thank you so much. I want to
Right. Well, thank you for coming. Yes. Thank you for coming on the podcast and just writing this book and telling your story and reaching out to me. And I just had a blast today.
Thank you. Thank you. This is my first podcast. So
I
appreciate it. And this was great. I hope they're all like this.
Yeah, right. Setting the standards out here for people.
That's right.
Respect and love our Black women.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. I hope you guys enjoyed today's Feature Friday. This is our last one. It was our last one. It is our last one. So if you made it this far, thank you for listening. Y'all are the best. Thank you for your support. I'm happy to have this platform and share it and build it with you guys. I had a whole mushy moment on Instagram where I just gave my gratitude and my thanks to everybody involved. So yes, that happened. That was a thing. It was definitely worth it. Don't forget that submissions are now wide open, wide open from people from the U.S., Black women from the U.S., out of the U.S., just wide open, guys. Submissions are open for poems, short stories, spoken word, personal essays, and of course, short stories. Don't forget to stay tuned for season 2. I'll be sharing all updates mainly on my Instagram at Lauren Tate Books and LinkedIn at Lauren Tate. Lastly, don't forget to subscribe, add to your favorites, review this episode or the podcast, and share. Share with anyone you can. You can follow me on Instagram at Lauren Tate Books, Facebook at Lauren Tate, or if you don't have any social media and want to send me a message or send me a submission, you can email me at TateLauren72@gmail.com. TateLauren72@gmail.com. There we go. And if you just want to know more about me, you can visit my website, LaurenTateBooks.com, which is also where all my contact information is. So a nice little, place where you can get everything that's collected. And you guys know whether we have a little bit of people or a lot of bit of people, whatever type of community we got here, the Lost World of Short Stories ain't going anywhere. You got to add the ain't on it. And just always remember that you are loved, you are important, and your story is worth being told. ¶¶